Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, g'day everyone and welcome to All Talk with Jason, Mike. Very nice to have your company. Wherever you are in the world, and I tell you what, we've been really appreciating all the feedback that we've been getting, all the ratings that we've been getting, and we've been really riding that surge of interest in the podcast, Mike, and I know on a personal level, mate, you find it very gratifying.
Yeah, I love it. You and I were talking this morning about how terribly we're both sleeping at the moment.
Yeah, man.
And it's because I'm lying awake thinking about all my fan mail that comes in, you know?
Yes.
I'm just sitting there thinking about, you know, we had a email from a fella in Scotland, and he was saying, you know, big fan of Wellington Paranormal.
Yes.
That he loves watching it over in the UK. And then he heard about the podcast somehow, and now he's listening. Isn't that nice? And I thought, Wellington Paranormal hasn't been released in the UK.
Right, okay.
So how's he watching it?
Well, I am imagining in this technological age, mate, that there must be some sort of aspect or some kind of platform that he's able to find Wellington Paranormal on and thus,
you know, he's
pirated, view it.
Yeah, he's pirating.
Yeah, he's pirating it. Okay. Yeah.
But I like his style, though. So that's quite nice. And then, it's just nice to know that people are out there and either enjoying or not enjoying the show.
Yeah, well, I know, and you've been talking about the fact that you haven't been sleeping very well because you've been literally poring over all the fan mail that you've been receiving, and I believe you've actually gone so far as to print out some of the comments that people have made, and you've got that stuff laminated as well on the wall, and I think that's terrific, mate. I think it's a real acknowledgement of the hard yards we've been putting in with regards to this podcast.
Well, you remember when you were a kid and you used to you get all your certificates, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And in our day, mate, they didn't give out a certificate for no fucking reason, not like they do now.
Yes.
You know, there's none of this participation bullshit. You had to earn a certificate. So, you know, my whole house was just plastered in certificates.
Was it?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know that about you.
Oh, yeah.
I think the greatest award I ever got, mate, was in the fifth form for most promising poet.
Oh, but what about your debating?
Oh, yeah, my debating as well.
What about your goalkeeping?
No.
Did you not?
I never got a sports blue for that, and I found that highly disappointing. Yeah, I got best all-round senior boy.
Best all-round senior boy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty good.
I won the Drummond Cup for Drama 4 years in a row.
Yeah, that's...
And it had never, Mike, ever been done before. There had been 2 years in a row, but not 4 years in a row, Mike.
What sort of stuff are you doing when you're going for the Drummond Cup?
Pirates of Penzance.
Yeah.
Showboat, those kind of...
So what do they do? They do the end-of-year play.
Well, or mid-year play.
Or mid-year play. And then based on that, you go, who's the best actor? Is that what it is?
Well, I mean, the
or is it across the drama classes throughout the year?
Well, we don't have drama classes.
Oh,
we
you're good. Have, you yeah, just chuck them in a pie and see
yeah,
how
it goes. To see how that was literally how it was, man. It was literally, you know, and I went to my first audition. It was for Showboat, and I was in the fifth form, and they auditioned me, and they auditioned everyone, and I got the main part,
right,
as Captain Andy. And I was terrified. I went, oh, my God, because I looked at the script and it was huge amounts of lines.
Yeah.
Huge amounts. Yeah. And I went, oh, my God, I actually have to remember
singing
those.
Singing and dancing?
Singing. But here's the interesting thing, Mike. The first time I sang on stage, and this is absolutely true, the first time I sang on stage in front of all the girls from Dyer, in front of the director, in front of all my mates in the class, in the show, the first time I sang the song, the director walked over to me in front of everyone and said, Jace, what we might get you to do is say the lines rather than sing the lines.
Oh.
It was a devastating blow to my singing career.
You know, I wish I could have been there for that. I really do.
Yeah. It still haunts me to this day. It's still because I believe it or not, I can actually sing.
Oh, yeah.
But obviously on that occasion, I was so dreadful.
You gave me the options of believe it or not, didn't you?
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
But... But it was a devastating blow to me at the time. But then I took it on board. And so Captain Andy, instead of singing the songs, would say the songs.
Right.
As a kind of device.
Now, that's probably even more moving.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I gave it very much a Richard Burton War of the Worlds kind of vibe.
Good. Well, I'm surprised that as part of the audition, given it was a musical, that they didn't think to see if you could sing.
Yeah. No, well, in terms of the audition process, it was all the dialogue.
And what about a little bit of dancing?
Yeah, there was a bit of dancing. There was a little bit of moving, Mike.
I'm surprised.
But it was more the chorus.
Now, is this an all-male cast, or did you combine with a female school?
Well, that was, and it's a terrible thing to say, but it's the truth. We did it with Dio School for Girls,
which
was right next door to...
Is that the terrible bit?
But it was right next door to our school. And I actually only went in the play so I could meet girls.
Yeah, that is, I think, how a vast majority of actors got started in the game. So often you hear the story as of, I was heading off to my philosophy class or my engineering class, and I looked through a door and it was filled with beautiful women and that was an acting class, and so I changed my major to acting.
Yeah.
I only had the one audition there. I think I've spoken about it before at St. Joseph's Primary School in Levin there. It was for the Half Men of O, and I went for the lead. I don't remember that character's name. And I didn't get it.
Right, okay.
There's a guy there, Francis, hamming it up.
Yeah.
Hamming it up.
And well, he got I hate it. The hammers.
Oh, I saw the audition. I was like, this guy's fucking dreaming, man.
Yeah.
Got to bring a bit of realism to it, man.
Totally, totally.
And I got the third rock. I was a rock. and I was rock number three.
Were you third rock from the sun?
No, I was, I was third, probably third character from the bottom of the characters as well.
Right, okay.
If not the bottom. But weirdly, the rocks sort of did all their chatting out in the middle of the audience.
Okay, yeah.
To the side, so there's only the people closest to me could hear me, because you're not going to get through all those thousands of people that were there to watch it, hugely popular play it was.
Yes.
And then you're out the back and waiting for your turn to go on, and we're sort of chatting, and the drama guy, whose name I can't remember, seethed at me.
Right.
Shut up, Minogue. If we can't hear you out there, I don't want to hear you in here.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was sort of... the end of any ideas about acting for 20-odd years.
Yes, yes, and then he got back to it later on.
He ruined me for that.
Yeah. Well, in a similar spirit, that was the end of my singing career.
Sure.
That I had envisaged for myself, down the line.
Sure.
It was immediately smashed against the rocks of reality.
Well, I mean, you could have gone a bit of a Joy Division-y route.
Yeah, well, true.
You
look at someone like Morrissey. Not a great singer,
no,
necessarily, but he had that quirky kind of
right,
and because he was different and strange, he got away with it.
That's right. It's unique. He found his lane, didn't he?
He did.
There's a few like that. There's of course you could have been a great rapper, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah, on and on like a groundhog. Yeah, totally.
Or not.
Yeah, or maybe not. Hey, listen, just getting into the show, as it were, we've got a Nancy Harrison update, mate. What's going on there?
Well, I sort of just let Nancy Harrison go through to the keeper. In the end, I mean, we were asking some tough questions of Nancy Harrison, who was offering us, was it $3 million that she'd found in a...
Wasn't it seven?
Yeah, it was up there.
Yeah.
In a treasure chest in a cave in Afghanistan when she was doing her work as a peacekeeper and just doing a little sideline as a thief.
Yes.
And in the end, we were saying, well, if you don't give us all the money, we're going to knock you out to your commanding officer and you'll be in the brig.
We called it, didn't we? Yeah, we called her bluff.
You might remember, probably the best way to remind our listeners will be the bikini shot.
Yes.
Stars and Stripes.
Yes.
So anyway, just out of the blue, she's got them back. And it's not a short email. I'll try and summarise it as best I can, but she's got a real command of the English language. Hey, hello, my friend. And let me just say, I feel like that's overstating it.
Yeah.
How are you over there? I believe you are fine and doing well, based on what?
I don't know.
I've never seen.
Well, as we say, we're not. Can't sleep. There's all sorts of shit going on.
I've started smoking again.
Yeah, you're punching the durries.
10 coffees a day, man. I hope my mail finds you in good health today. Much delighted, privileged to contact you again after all this time. Takes destiny and courage to remember good friends like you, and at the same time show gratitude to you despite circumstances that made us separate and disrupted my treasure box, which ultimately did not work out as well as we had projected. So that's a bit sad, isn't it? The good news is she's got some good news.
Yes.
The good news is that I'm happy to inform you about my success in getting the funds of my treasure box with the cooperation of a new partner from Togo.
Togo?
It's been so long since I've heard about Togo.
Yes.
So I was working with one American offshore company there. Nancy just wants to use this opportunity to inform us that the treasure box delivery finally worked out, and she's contacting us to let us know that she has instructed her new partner to draft a check in the vicinity of $300,000 in our name before going back to his work, which he has done and kept it with his wife, and he's going to post it to us once we contact her. So we've got to contact Mrs. Christy Johnson, his wife, on the email address.
Yes.
Now, our listeners can get on board with this. ChristyJohnson48@hotmail.com. I'll say that again. Now, you guys can just get in touch. I've got a lot, you know, Jason and I are busy at the moment. We've got a lot on.
Yeah, so there's a lot happening.
You know, we haven't got time to be sending emails for $300,000. So you guys can email ChristyJohnson48@hotmail.com. Ask her to send you a certified bank draft, which her husband gave to her. And Nancy just wants us to accept this check from the bottom of her heart.
Oh, that's great stuff, mate.
Pretty kind. So she says she really appreciated our tremendous effort and contribution to start off and to try and make things work. And she just wants to give us just, look, it's not the full amount we were expecting.
Yeah.
You know, we're expecting 10% of seven. Oh, no, it was actually, it worked out to 3.1. It was 30 or 40% of the seven.
Yeah.
So she's not going to give us that, but she is going to give us just, you know, just a little bit of a cheers, $300,000.
Okay.
So pretty, you know, not bad.
It's not bad.
But it was more than I was expecting.
Yeah, well, no, I'll take it, mate. If she's going to give me $300,000, I'm not going to turn it away. That's for sure. You'd be a fool to do that.
Yeah.
But right now it's time for a bit of relationship advice with Jason Mike.
I think she's cheating on me.
It's relationship advice with Jace and Mike.
Cheers, guys. Saucy. Yeah. What does that mean, Mike? I'm not sure. But anyway, hey, guys, I've got a problem. I have this insatiable desire to shag my best mate's missus. Do you know if I call you, you know what my wife wants it to me? If you call me your missus, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. She hates it.
Oh, yeah.
But the good thing is she doesn't listen to the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know whether I should address this with him. Oh, and she rubs my leg under the table when we are having double dinner dates. Cheers, fellas. Thomas on the Insta. Mm. Interesting.
It is, isn't it?
So clearly, from, you know, Thomas's point of view, he has this desire.
Yeah.
And it seems to me if she is indeed rubbing his leg under the table, then there seems to be a certain duality in that and a certain reciprocity. Is that a word?
Yeah, it's reciprocal.
It's reciprocal, yes.
Yeah, I mean, straight away, tell me what age he is, Jace.
Early 20s.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Because you don't have this problem when you get older.
No.
It's just she's not on the cards.
Well, maybe some people do.
Well, yeah, no, that's true. Maybe some people do. But, you know, it feels like it's the first time that it's possibly happened to him and he doesn't know how to deal with it.
Sure.
And, you know, rubbing your leg under the table when we're having double dinner dates, I mean, the way you deal with that, you know, is you take her off to the bathroom.
You take who off to the bathroom?
Your mate's missus.
Right.
No, the way you deal with it is you immediately stand up and call her out.
Yeah, totally, mate.
You know, in front of the table.
You carry on.
Because the problem that you're going to have is if you know about this and you don't say anything about it and she says that something's going on and then you're like, oh, no, actually it was her. Well, then you sound like the guilty party. You know, this is one of those things that is never going to end well.
So you're saying call it early.
Call it. immediately.
And can I just make the point, Mike, actually, that I completely missed a very significant point in this particular message from Thomas. When we are having double dinner dates.
Yeah.
So Thomas clearly has a partner himself.
Yeah.
So that really adds to the conundrum.
It does.
You know, if, for example, they were having a dinner date and it was the three of them,
you
know, certainly that's a problem.
Yeah.
But the fact that he himself has a partner.
That's right.
I mean, what kind of piece of dirty shit even goes in that direction,
yeah,
mate?
Yeah, yeah,
you know, what kind of asshole would even consider such a thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be too hard on Thomas here, but, I mean, come on, mate.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the hormones are pumping around your body, all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, what you've got to consider are two things. Number one, it's your best mate's missus.
Yes.
So automatically it's a no-go. Number two, your best mate, man, you've got to tell him. Straight away.
Yes. Well, it's like that whole thing, you know, that really interesting dilemma. For example, if you knew that your best mate's girlfriend or boyfriend was having an affair and you found it out, you know, it's that, oh, my God, do I tell them?
Yeah, the answer is yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, good. I've always wanted to know the answer to that. Do you know what I mean?
So. Like, I think it's easier
get it out in the open.
For your own conscience, because, you know, the flip side of it is, mate, look at it like this, Thomas. Let's imagine that your missus on the same dinner date is grabbing your best mate's leg.
Indeed.
Would you want your best mate to tell you?
And I think the answer to that is a yes.
Yeah, I think so. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to exist in this sort of vacuum where you think everything's going great and actually you're a laughing stock.
Totally.
You know?
And can I just put this out there as a very wild hypothesis? Is he absolutely sure it was the girlfriend that was rubbing his leg under the table and not his best mate?
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? Because therein lies another issue altogether.
Yeah. Because imagine that. You go, look, mate, I've got something I've got to tell you. And he goes, yeah, I've got something I've got to tell you as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll go first. When we were out for dinner the other night, I mean, there's no easy way to say that. Your missus was rubbing her hand on my thigh. That was me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's a turn up for the books totally, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's okay.
Sweet as then.
Oh, well, that's fine.
I was going to say you should break up with your missus, but no, you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's fine.
Yeah, I mean, that is a serious issue. If that's, well, it's not a serious issue, that's fine. But, I mean, it's,
well, it's not.
Well, it's not fine because, you know, he's rubbing your thigh under the table and that's not a good thing at all.
No.
But, yeah, I'm on the same page as you in this regard. If that is actually happening, A, you've got to get that thought out of your head right from the start, mate. You don't go there. He's your best mate. What kind of asshole are you? And B, you call it out.
Well, that's right. And because the other thing is, if you go, oh, no, I'm going to root her. You know, and then you're sacrificing your relationship with your best mate for, I'm assuming, a short-term relationship, or if this is going to turn into a long-term relationship with your best mate's missus, she's not exactly the type that you can trust.
No.
Or you just don't take her out on any double dinner dates. Maybe double dinner dates really get her randy.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe she's trying to start a four-way situation.
Quite possibly.
Maybe his best mate is rubbing the leg of his missus.
Right,
you know what I mean?
See what you're saying.
So Thomas's missus is getting her leg rubbed by Thomas's best mate. They're trying to get a little bit of groupie.
In fact, there's a lot of rubbing going on under the table in general.
Yeah.
And it's just a bit of a miscommunication as to who's rubbing who.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, it could very well be. But I think you make a really good point in the sense that, you know, if that's the way that she operates in that sense – a leopard never changes its spots, mate.
No, man.
And so, you know, I'd imagine it would be a short-term thing. And at the end of the day, Thomas, is it worth it, mate?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because she might be hot.
But, you know, the whole point is that, you know, you've got to weigh up the pros and cons here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go there, mate.
Yeah.
Certainly I wouldn't go there.
I got to, you know, there's a good piece of advice going around, which is, you know, rub one out and then in the aftermath, then make your decision about whether you should go ahead or not.
Oh, well, I think in general men are guilty of thinking with their dicks far too often, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think that's really good advice.
Mm.
So what you're saying to Thomas is go to the bathroom when that happens, whack one out,
yeah,
and then make your decision.
And then in the immediate aftermath, once you're not horny, then you think to yourself, do I want to do this? And then you're true fit. Because if you still do at that point,
well, then
go hard, man.
Yes, but if you go in, you rub one out, as they say, yeah, then in that calm after the rub out, you say to yourself, is that what I want? And generally speaking, you'll find, because it's amazing the poor decisions we make when we're horny.
Yes, absolutely.
Very bad decisions.
Yeah, and when you're just sitting in your shame there, then you'll know your truth. But when you go to the bathroom, for God's sake, don't jerk off in the urinal.
No.
It drives me up the wall when I go in there and this guy's beaten off.
Yeah, that's not attractive.
Ugh.
That's another issue for another day.
Yeah.
That someone might want to bring up with us. But, Thomas, there you go, mate. I think you've been given great advice there. So let's move on, and it's time for a bit of, well, I guess we'd call this pet chat.
Ooh.
With Jason Mike.
Yes. Is that dog doing a shit on my lawn?
Pet advice with Jason Mike.
I have a woman problem, and I know you guys are the ones to help me with it.
Yeah.
I have very long hair on my head, and while my husband loves my long locks, he also gets annoyed about the amount of hair I leave around the house and in the shower. On several occasions recently, my dog has somehow consumed my hair, and after taking a shit, has come into the house running around madly with a turd swinging from his bottom. So you see why I thought it was pet chat?
Yeah, no, I'm with
you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. So my question is, should I cut my hair really short and make my husband pay for some hair extensions, or tell him that me molting everywhere is something he just has to deal with?
Sure.
Any other suggestions are welcome. Look forward to your response from Long Hair Don't Care on the Insta.
Great.
Really great. I think we all go through this. We're all molting to one degree or another.
And not just hair, can I make that point?
No, skin.
Skin, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, I'm reaching a time in my life where it's starting to fall out.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll find that I'll be tapping away on me computer there.
Yes.
And I'll look down and there's 10 hairs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But I think...
Can I just make an observation? I haven't noticed it, mate.
Oh, thanks, mate.
You know what I mean?
Well,
for me, you've got a very, very full head of hair. I don't see any suggestion of recession, if I can put it that way.
My peaks are starting to climb back, I think. But it's going to be what it's going to be, because I'll just shave it off.
Yeah.
You know? Or get a hair transplant.
Sure.
You know?
Would you go there?
Yeah.
Would you?
No, I don't know.
Nah, just shave it off.
I guess it... Well, I shaved my hair off earlier in the year, didn't I? And I was quite surprised. I didn't hate how I looked.
It's very freeing,
actually,
because you can wake up in the morning. You don't have to do anything with it, Mike.
Yeah.
You don't have to use product. It's just already there. The only thing I would say is when you did that, you looked like one of the characters from Romper Stomper.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You looked like a kind of right-wing kind of Nazi. Yeah, yeah. But other than that, it looked great.
I think the thing with it is, you need to bronze up on your scalp. I think having a really white scalp is a tough sell.
Well, of course, that area of your skin hasn't been exposed to the sunlight. So when you first do it, initially it is a shocking white kind of cream cheese kind of look about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
I'm surprised by the amount of pimples all over my head as well.
Right, okay.
Grim sight.
Well, you see, they'll disappear too once they get a bit of sun on them.
Yeah, they'll get toughened up a bit.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
But the thing is that we are always shedding our hair. And I think for men, because we've got shorter hair, it's less of an issue within a relationship. You know, it's not so noticeable. Whereas for women who are always, and the other thing is, we're very, really fucking around with our hair. We are not dyeing the shit out of it. We're not doing all the chemically stuff that the lady said. You know, they spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on getting their hair done.
Mm.
And it's got to be tough on the hair. So it sheds out a lot more. You know, they're always brushing it and all that. So I don't know what your shower situation's like at home.
Not bad, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well,
but you've had the four daughters and all that.
Yeah, but that's because most of my girls have gone now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And I've got a very full head of hair. My hair, you know, I don't think I shed much hair as a general rule.
Yeah.
Well,
you wouldn't notice it.
No.
That's the thing, it's short.
Yes.
You know, so, but if you've got big, you know, if you've got hair past your shoulders.
For sure.
Then you're going to notice that.
Once, you know, in terms of the hair situation in my home, our dog sheds a lot of hair.
Oh, yeah.
And I once found a dog hair in my foreskin.
Yeah. I mean, should you really be?
Well, I don't – look, you know, people might
– should your penis be anywhere near the dog?
That's the point, Mike. It wasn't.
Wow.
You know, and I know immediately people jump to the assumption that there's some sort of dubious action going on. It was a completely innocent thing. And I found a hair in my foreskin and I went, oh, that's weird.
Mm.
But it was a very wiry kind of, and I went, oh my God, that's a dog hair.
Well, there's a couple of things.
How did I get a dog? Because I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what happened. We often leave our laundry on the couch and the dog sometimes jumps up on the couch.
Sure.
And just lies down in the laundry, which drives me crazy. And then we kick her up. I think one of her hairs dislodged into maybe my underwear.
Sure.
And then I put my underwear on, and thus a dog hair in my foreskin.
Yeah, yeah. No, I guess the other issue I've got here is you told me you don't have a foreskin.
Oh, no, I do have a foreskin.
Well, you just keep it in your bedroom.
No, I don't. It's not the full foreskin.
Right.
It's you know. I'm cut, but there's still a foreskin. I mean, when you circumcise, man, you still have a foreskin.
That's funny because by definition, I thought you didn't.
Oh no, you certainly still have a foreskin.
Oh.
I mean, yeah, are you? I thought you were too.
I'm circumcised.
Yeah, you've got a foreskin.
No,
you've got no foreskin.
No, that's what a circumcision is. Is they cut off your foreskin?
Well, no, they cut off part of your foreskin.
Oh, this is fascinating. Right, we've got to get into this because, and I'm not going to get my cock out, but I can assure you that the skin on the shaft of my penis ends at the tip of my penis. And there is no loose skin whatsoever. None.
Well, if you're saying that your foreskin or that your skin...
Yeah.
On your penis?
Yes.
Ends at the tip of your penis?
No, sorry, not the tip, at the base of the tip.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
on the helmet, can I put it that way?
Yeah, the base of the helmet,
yeah. But presumably, you've got a little bit of a...
Nah.
Bit of,
nah.
You've got a bit of...
Nah.
Like an unrolled condom scenario.
No.
Oh, what?
None
really?
None of that.
I have.
If you look at my finger,
yes,
and you see the skin there ends at the fingernail, there is no extra bit of skin that I can roll up the fingernail if I wanted to.
Wow.
There is none.
Wow.
Wow, we're having this revelation live.
Wow.
Okay.
I've never said this
to a man before, but I really want to see your penis.
Well, can I just make the point, I really don't want to see your penis.
Okay.
Because I've got, I mean... Certainly, I have skin around there.
Right. Well, let me just say.
And I don't want to get too into this, but we kind of are. But it's like, I would liken it to an unrolled condom.
Right.
Absolutely. At the base.
And if you were to roll that skin up.
Yes.
How many mils are we talking? How long would that be? 5 mils a centimetre?
Oh, I think.
2 centimetres?
Yeah, 2 centimetres.
Well, that's a foreskin, mate.
Yeah, but my point is, it doesn't go over. It's not. It doesn't reach the shaft. It's like a.
You know what it's like, mate?
A folding blind.
Sure. Well, what it's like is when you're at school and you've got your socks pulled up,
Yes.
And you remember when you used
exactly.
to roll the sock down, like, you know, like some sort of, for some reason I'm thinking of Pinocchio, I don't know why, but one of the, a court jester type of guy might have his socks rolled down in that fashion, you know.
But that is a perfect way of describing it. It's like a sock around the ankle.
Except yours stinks.
Well, no, it doesn't. I'm pretty sure, certain it doesn't stink.
Well, this is, I mean, we're going to have to look into this further, because the other thing is, you've been in a relationship for an extremely long time.
Yes.
Now, I don't know about your history before your partner.
Yes.
Or your wife's history.
Yes.
So I don't know how many people have seen yours, and I don't know how many she's seen, but has she ever mentioned to you that that's weird?
No.
Because nobody's mentioned to me that mine's weird. So one of us
is weird,
yeah.
And we don't know it.
And we don't know it.
Yeah.
Because to me,
I have never had a partner that said it's weird. And my instinct is that, given the discussion previously we've had about your foreskin, is that there's something horrifically wrong with yours.
Look,
or lack thereof.
Yeah, I can understand why that would be your thinking. But, yeah, mine's just an extremely streamlined vessel.
Okay. Interesting.
Now, maybe you should start Googling it. Googling.
Who, me personally?
Yeah,
or other
on your phone. No, Google on your phone.
I'm not going to
penises.
That's the last thing I want to show.
Big, put in big circumcised, just to make sure the photos are big. Put in big circumcised
on
cocks.
On my search history, going to have big circumcised penises on my search history.
I think
history.
Cocks is probably better. Big circumcised cocks.
But yeah, no, it's fact. We'll touch on this on another podcast because it's an interesting, interesting one. With regards to long hair, don't care on the Insta.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Keep your hair. I love long hair. And, you know, yeah, the dog will sometimes do that.
Well, that's funny. Dog running around with a turd that's bungee jumped out of its anus. That's good stuff.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
You know, that's bonding time.
Yeah, yeah.
For you and your husband, I would have thought. And, you know, a bit of hair, yeah, who cares, man? What's he saying there? So my question is, should I cut my hair really short and make my husband pay for some hair extensions, or tell him me molting everywhere is something he just has to deal with? Yeah,
yeah.
Something he just has to deal with.
Well, and it's who's, not that bad. And just to make the point, who says hair extensions you don't lose hair?
Well, that's right.
The hair still falls out of extensions as well. So, nah, don't you dare change.
Exactly.
Long hair, don't care. Don't you dare feel ever that you have to change your appearance to help or make someone else happy.
Classic man, you know. Classic man trying to change you.
Yes.
You know, trying to make you feel guilty about your body.
Yes.
Trying to body shame you about your hair falling out when it's perfectly normal.
Yes.
You know what he's trying to do? You're probably really gorgeous, and he's trying to make you, you know, shave your head.
Yes.
So other people won't try and root you. Not that there's anything wrong with short hair. That can be very attractive as well.
Absolutely.
But, you know, look, let me just say, it could be a hell of a lot worse. You know, you could think that you were circumcised, but you haven't been.
Well, exactly. You know, I'm still kind of shaken by that conversation, I'll be honest with you. I'm beginning to question a lot about myself.
Well, yeah, I mean, to me, this demands that both of us have conversations with our parents.
Yes.
Me mum. I'll have a yarn with me mum. Probably the missus as well.
Right.
And on that front, you know, if we could get some votes coming in on this, you know, who's got the freaky cock? because there'll be guys out there that are listening to this that are circumcised, and I'm assuming they're going to be aligned with one or other of us.
Yes.
Don't you think? It seems weird to me that there should be variations on a circumcision.
Well,
it's either circumcised or it's not to me.
Yes. So you're saying you've got a lean aerodynamic shaft.
Yeah, that's right. There is absolutely no excess skin on my penis.
And I'm saying that I've got...
It's wearing one of those little...
yes, but I've got a little bit of sock roll at the bottom of mine.
That's right. That's right. If you can imagine that at the, you know, if you forget about Jason's shaft for a moment, and I know it's difficult, but if you were just looking at it and you just saw the tip of the penis,
yes,
then at the bottom there'd be a little roll of skin as if you're looking at
yes.
a condom.
Yes.
Before you roll it out.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's a couple of centimetres there. If Jace got his fingers on either side, he can shimmy it up.
Shimmy it up. Yeah.
Now,
I don't know if it would be 2 centimetres. But it's resting state.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can I put it that way? Yeah. Is the unrolled condom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fascinating. Wow. Now, does it roll out to the shaft, or does it roll into the tip? Do you know what I mean? It must roll out.
I'll have to look at that.
Like if you're peeling a banana, it would go out, right? It would roll outward.
It would roll down.
Outward. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good. Yeah, yeah. Great.
Okay.
Wow, man.
Long hair, don't care on the inside. We hope that helps. And thanks so much for sending in your question. A bloody great question.
Really sparked a great,
great chat. And don't go changing, long hair, don't care.
No.
Hey, guys. Emma from Devonport here. Talking of durries, we haven't in this show, but anyway, I was in the sixth form at an all-girls Catholic school on the North Shore, and I had a durry on the lower field at morning tea, and my English teacher afterwards said I smelt like Rothmans. I had the audacity to say, wrong, Dunhill Red. How I was made a prefect the following year, beggars belief. And then she weirdly segues from that, Mike, into... My relationship question is, how do I go about finding a sugar daddy as my degree is proving useless?
Yeah, a few things going on there, isn't there? That was over the Insta from memory. What she's doing there is she's telling us she's a smoker.
Can I just say, just very quickly, how encouraged I am by the amount of female response. We love it. It's great.
Yeah. And she's saying, you know, that she was pretty cool at school.
Yeah.
You know, she smoked.
Yeah, well... The truth of the matter is that actually you were considered pretty cool if you punched the durry.
They were pretty badass, the kids at my school smoked.
Yeah, I smoked at school.
I found it quite intimidating. I started smoking at school, but...
Yeah. Behind the cricket nets in the boot room.
No, to be fair, I don't think I ever smoked at school.
I did.
I was never...
Were you at boarding school, though?
I was for the first year, but I wasn't smoking then. I think I really started in earnest fourth form.
Right, yeah. No, for me it was about the fifth form.
Right.
And I smoked all the way from the fifth form right through seventh form.
Yeah. I mean, you can really smell it.
Oh,
you
can really smell it when somebody comes back. You know, I was talking about that with someone the other day, and it's hilarious when you think about it. My mate and I used to go in the middle of class, go out and have a fag.
Yeah.
You know? And then we'd walk back into maths class just reeking of ciggies. But it didn't occur to us that we stunk of cigarettes.
It's funny, isn't it, that you can't smell it on yourself.
No.
I don't know why that is.
And our teacher knew.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the teacher's like, Christ.
Absolutely reeking of the stuff.
Yeah.
So she's saying she's cool and that she, you know, I mean, she says she had the audacity to say wrong, Dunhill Red, but it feels like you're a bit silly to say that. And then she says, God, how I was made a prefect the following year, beggars belief. So she's saying... You know, she was shit hot at school.
Yeah, well, perhaps that she's just saying that, you know, that they like the fact that she was so forthright. You know what I mean? No, they were Dunhill Reds.
Oh, well, let's make her a prefect.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
They asked me to be a prefect at school and I said no.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nah, man. Sort of like a knighthood.
Well, yeah, it was, and... For me, it was either head boy or nothing at all.
Yeah, good.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
And I went into the headmaster's office. It was a very formal guy. And I said, sir.
I've got a dog's hair in my foreskin.
In my foreskin. No, and this is true. I said to him, look, no one's going to take me seriously as a prefect. That's exactly what I said. And he went, I see where you're coming from, Jason.
That's great.
Because I was always an idiot at school. I'm always an idiot.
Yeah.
And he was like, I can see where you're coming from, Jason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
I said,
no one is ever going to take me seriously.
No.
And I don't. I'm not an authoritarian figure. I don't like authority anyway. I was anti-authority.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're hardcore, man.
Yeah.
You know?
And besides which.
You had your socks down, didn't you?
I had my socks down and I was punching durries all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it never came up for me, so I can't sort of relate to what you're saying at all. You know, if I was asked, I mean, I left sort of midway through seventh form because I wasn't putting in, as far as my mother was concerned, I wasn't putting in with her homework and that.
Yeah, I may as well have left.
Yeah. Well, Mum said, you know, you either do your homework or you leave school.
Yeah.
I was like, beauty, I'll
leave school.
Bit of a no-brainer, that one.
I ended up getting a B bursary. In seventh form,
sure,
which was remarkable because I put absolutely no effort, and I didn't think I had a shit show chance of getting a bursary. I don't, to this day, I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
There must have been some marking up or something. But anyway, carry on. Yeah. But yeah, just an answer to her question, how to find a sugar daddy.
Yeah.
Well, you see, this is interesting because she seems to me to be quite a strong-minded woman.
Yeah.
She seems to know who she is.
Well, she's got a degree.
She's made a prefect. She's got a degree.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why is she denigrating herself to the point where she feels she needs a sugar daddy?
Well, yeah, exactly.
She just lazy?
Yeah, she sounds like she might be lazy. She's got a degree, which is great, but it depends what it's in. If it's a BA or something like that, you know, you've wasted your money.
Yeah, or philosophy.
Oh, God. There's quite a few. And now you can get degrees in any old bullshit, can't you? Because now it's, you know, it's
pottery.
It's a shop, isn't it? You know, a university. It's a shop selling things. So the more things they have on the shelves, the more money they make. So there's degree, you know, you can do a degree in the works of Tarantino.
Yes. Know. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's a load of shit.
Yeah. Well, just on that, my wife used to go to a place called Selwyn College, and they were like that back in the day. It was all, you could do pottery.
Yeah.
You could do psychology at their school.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Psychology.
Psychology?
Yeah.
Give me a break. Yeah. Pottery?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
At my school, it was English, Latin, French, you know, all that sort of old school stuff.
Yeah.
Pottery.
Yeah.
Psychology.
I've got a degree. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A doctorate in pottery.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No.
Well, why don't you be a sugar mummy, you lazy cow?
She could be the one. Yeah, exactly.
Why don't you work harder and give some sugar to a young man who's lazy? You know? Or why don't you hook up with someone who's equally as lazy as you and have a really shit life?
I think she's obviously someone that wants to have a good life.
Yeah, she does.
Without actually having to put any
effort in. None of the work, yeah.
Which is hugely demeaning to her.
Yeah, well, I mean, she sort of put herself in that position with the question, hasn't
she?
Yes. I mean, you don't have to use a degree to make money. And is money really the solution to all life's problems, Jace?
It's not what ticks my box, Mike.
No. I completely agree.
You know, at the end of the day, you got to be happy, and money doesn't tick my box. I mean, if you're going to give me shitloads of it, I'm not going to say no to that. But at the same time,
it's like Nancy Harrison, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not what I'm about.
No. It's not your modus operandi.
Fame and fortune is not what I'm about, Mike.
Fan mail. Big on fan mail.
Yeah. Well, no, you are.
Oh, no, you are.
Oh, am I?
Well, we both are.
Well, I'm not the one that laminates them, though.
Well, no, I don't laminate them. But I laminate them so I can bring them in and read them out to you without you know, wrinkling them up.
I get why you do it.
Yeah. But most of the fan mail is for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
The vast, vast majority of it.
Right.
But, you know, I like reading stuff about you.
Yeah.
So it's Jace.
Well, I've got a feeling now that there's not going to be so much nice stuff about me now that we've got the circumcision debate going on.
You know, I think we're going to have to start an entirely new podcast.
Yeah, well, you know, I can tell
you. Foreskin chat with Jace and Mike.
I'm going to be walking away from this podcast really asking some serious questions.
Well, I know. I get the feeling that we're both going to make a beeline for the urinal.
Yes. And just check out. Hang on. You know, have I been so blind? Have I been so blind?
Yeah, because you were circumcised as a baby.
Yes.
So I wonder if some's growing back over the years.
No, not that I'm aware of. Well, maybe. I don't know. Does foreskin grow?
Well, I don't know. It hasn't in my experience.
No, I mean, I'm not aware of any foreskin growth.
No.
I mean, and it's not slowly climbing up, if that's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it may
and
be.
And it doesn't seem to be any more prolific than what it was.
I guess my question would be, what's the point? You don't get the head cheese. What's the point of chopping the foreskin off if you're not doing it all? But then, as you pointed out, mine was a traumatic circumcision.
A ripping, if I recall.
Yeah, that's right. So perhaps that has necessitated further surgical endeavour. Because the other thing about
that's where my instinct goes, yes.
Yeah, because I can't imagine, because yours was done as a baby, and I can't imagine that they would do to a baby what they did to me.
No.
And what they did to me was not just the ripping of the foreskin away from the helmet. They then stitched.
Yeah, you see, I'm already very confident now. I'm already very confident.
My confidence is ebbing.
Yes.
I've got to
I'm already confident now that I'm in the right place on this.
Because I remember...
But we'll see.
I remember having to change... Because I'd walk around as a 12-year-old, you know, like John Wayne at the end of a 9-day horse trek.
Yes.
Because I had my penis dangling between my legs.
Yes.
And, you know, the stitches stuck out. They were like maybe 3 to 5 mil, each of these stitches.
Yes.
And to get, you know, right the way around the circumference. So about 800 or 900 stitches. And, but it would bang against my thighs and it would stick, it would dig in there.
Yeah.
And so you had to dress the tip of the penis, the head of the penis, in gauze and wrap the gauze around to shorten up that stitch that would dig into my leg. And you'd have to change that.
I'm growing more and more confident by the minute now that I'm in the right place here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey.
God, that's interesting. But similarly, I've never had anybody say anything to me about it.
Well, yeah.
But also, it took me many, many years before I got into a relationship.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm...
But also, as we've discussed before, I wonder if this is why. I insist on making love in the dark.
Yeah. 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 Well, let us know your thoughts on that. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Mike. I am going to get on Google after this podcast and just find out what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
And
Sugar Google Daddy. Google Mike Minogue's cock.
Sugar Daddy. No. Have some self-respect, for God's sake. Don't be so lazy. But thank you for your
you get some wealthy blokes who are willing to pay for it at brothels. So, you know, if you're not going to take our advice, there's an alternative.
Well, yes. If you want to, well, that'd be horrible work, and I get the impression that she wouldn't.
It'd be horrible work for you and me. I wouldn't like it.
No. But bring in your thoughts. Always send questions to us. We're here for you, remember, New Zealand, and everyone around the world, actually. I always say New Zealand.
Yeah, it's the Scottish guy is there as well, so don't forget him.
And from all over the world.
Scots.
But thank you for taking the time to listening to this podcast.
To listen to this podcast.
Yeah. Hey, but from Mike and me, you take care out there, and we'll be back again next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.